Good morning on Sunday the 11th of October 2020. Our readings for today are from Exodus chapter 32 verses 1 to 14. Obviously in the Old Testament, and the New Testament, the Gospel reading is from Matthew 22 verses 1 to 14. And I want to look at this passage in Matthew 22 verses 1 to 14. And it starts off by saying, "And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son." And I said this in the church earlier when I was reading. And that the kingdom of heaven is like. And the whole story is talking about what the kingdom of heaven is like. How it is, what it's made up of, what it looks like. And Jesus is painting a picture for us, because obviously we don't see the kingdom of heaven because we're here on earth. And so we have to imagine. And so he paints a picture. And all the time Jesus spoke in parables. He spoke in picture form, because that's how we think. We think in pictures. As I've said before, we don't think in words. We actually see pictures. We imagine if we're going somewhere, how you get there, and we actually go through that journey in our mind, in our mind's eye, because we all think that way. That's the way God made us. And so he starts this passage by saying, the kingdom of heaven is like. So let me just read part of it. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son, and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. And they were not willing to come. Again, verse 4, again he sent out other servants, saying, Tell those who are invited, See, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted cattle and are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. That's ending in verse 7. God wants everybody to be with him. God the Father is having a banquet for his son, Jesus. And we're told that whenever the end times will come, is that Jesus is preparing a wedding feast for us, and we will sit down and eat together. And that is something that is wonderful and glorious, wonderful to look forward to, that there's going to be a feast, a celebration. And what are we celebrating? Well, we're celebrating eternity with God forever. We're celebrating being in heaven with him. We're celebrating being at the marriage feast of his son, because again, the church is described as being the bride of Christ, and that Jesus is the bridegroom. And again, it may be a picture, but it's a wedding that's talked about, and we're married to him. And yes, I'm a man. I'm not a woman. I'm not a bride. But yet in the eyes of the church, I'm a bride. Because in the eyes of the kingdom of God, I'm a bride, because I am part of the church. I am part of the kingdom of God because I believe in Jesus. And so we have to see the pictures and understand what it's talking about. And many men may have trouble with this and think, but I'm not a bride, I'm a bridegroom. And the answer is, of course, that Jesus is the bridegroom and his church is the bride. And it's a picture of what's coming, of what things are going to be. But the essence of these first 7 verses is that God the Father sends out invitations to everybody. And as I said in church, it is God's will that everybody is saved. And yet not everybody will be saved, because not everybody wants to be saved. And those of us who already are Christians, already believers, who are already born again, just marvel at this. And, you know, the mind boggles. Why on earth would somebody want to go to hell? Why would anybody refuse the gift of God. And because that's what it is. It's a gift. It's a free gift. And it's something that we didn't have to do anything about. We aren't called to go and die on a cross. Jesus did. Jesus did. And he was perfect and is perfect. And he was on that cross because of our sin. We're not called to pay a price for our sin. We're called to believe in the one who has paid a price for our sin. And even more than that, we're not called to be good enough. We're not called to have a good life. We're actually called to believe and receive him who is perfect. And again, as I say, that's mind-boggling. It's a free gift. I don't have to pay for my sin, and I don't have to depend on me being good enough. What I do is I depend on Jesus being good enough, and I depend on his righteousness. Because it's his righteousness that I received at the cross. Because he took my sin and exchanged it for his righteousness. And that's the good news of the gospel. All I've got to do is believe and receive it. And so by believing and receiving it, I'm accepted into the marriage feast. And I've chosen to do that. But there were others in this story who didn't. They refused to come. They didn't want to come. Even though, as I said in the church, it's not like weddings today that we're used to. Because when you're invited to a wedding, it can be expensive. Because you've got to maybe go and get a new suit or get a new dress, an outfit. Get all prettied up as the ladies do so that they look the part for the wedding. And that can be expensive with all the different things that are involved. And you're expected to bring a gift. A present. Yeah, it's funny there that I said it that way. That you're expected to bring a gift. A present. And that's an expense. But you see, as I say, and I laugh there at thinking about a gift, because the point is that God's the one who gives us the gift. He gives us the gift of eternal life. And will we accept the free gift? And as I said earlier as well, later on we come to the story of somebody not being prepared and wearing the correct garments. And I might go there again later, I'm not sure. But the point is that in the Bible times is that whenever you're invited to a wedding, you are actually provided with the wedding garment to come in. You didn't have to get it yourself. It was given to you. And so you came with the wedding garment on. And that garment represents the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so by being born again, we are righteous. And so we come to the wedding. Our acceptance into the wedding feast is because we already are righteous. But it's the righteousness of Jesus. It's his righteousness that we've received as a gift. But these people didn't want to come. They weren't willing to come. And even the king says, look, I've prepared everything. The fattened calf, I've got the feast, it's all ready. They still didn't want to come. They made light of it. They went their own ways. One to his own farm, another to his business. This is verse 5. But it says then in verse 7, but when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent his armies, destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. We don't like that. Verse 7. We think, that's terrible. But you see, at the end of the day, whenever we stand before God, everybody's going to be judged. Everybody's going to be judged. But they're going to be judged on whether or not they're righteous. And the only righteousness that is good enough, that is acceptable, that is perfect before God, is Christ's righteousness. And you see, these people that refused to come in, that refused the free gift, that refused the offer, these are the people that will end up in hell. Because their goodness, their farms, their businesses, all that they've done will not be good enough. And some of them, and
You know, some of them have gone and have attacked the servants that the Lord sent out. And I believe that's talking about us who are born again, because we are not only made righteous, but we're made holy. And we live godly. And the Bible tells us that those who live godly shall suffer persecution. Because there are people in this world that don't like us because we profess Jesus and we tell people about how we've accepted his righteousness and tell them about being born again and tell them the good news. And people don't like to hear that, and they may persecute us. And in fact, as I say, the Bible tells us we will be persecuted. And so the king here is saying what's going to happen to those who persecute his servants, who persecute his saints, to those who refuse to come, to those who refuse to accept the gift of righteousness, and those who refuse to accept the gift or the invitation to the feast. They're going to be destroyed. Verse 7, but when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. There will be destruction for those who refuse to come. And the destruction essentially is eternal separation from God. And we know again from the Bible that that means hell. Because when we die in this life, we either go to heaven or we go to hell. The thing is, everybody can go to heaven. But because of men and women's pride, because of their own self-importance, and ultimately for their refusal of the free gift that's being offered to them, they will go to hell. And that's not good news, but it is the truth. And so Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like this. And then verse 8 goes on, then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Now notice, he says they were not worthy. He didn't say they didn't come. He said they were not worthy. Why were they not worthy? Because they were trusting in their own righteousness. Because they were trusting in their own goodness. Because they thought that the work that they were doing was good enough and would be accepted whenever they'd finished it and then come on. But the king says, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. Now this in verse 10 I think is brilliant, because it brought in both bad and good. It doesn't say brought in both good and bad, it says bad and good, anyone. And the point is, it's anyone who will accept the gift. Because again, you see, we think, but I've got to be good enough. I've got to get rid of my badness, I've got to get rid of my sin, and then God will accept me. And the wonderful truth is God accepts everybody, whether you're bad or good. Because he doesn't see you for who you are, he sees you for the wedding garment. He sees you because you're trusting in Christ's righteousness. He sees you because you've accepted the invitation and you've taken the gift. And that's why it leads on to this next bit, which is verse 11. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. And you see, the thing is, the bad and the good that came in, they took the wedding garment. But this one man appears not to have taken the garment. He's come in because he's been invited, but he still come in his own strength and in his own goodness. Just let me read that again. Verse 11, but when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. He'd nothing to say. He couldn't defend himself before the king because he realized his error. He had refused to take the wedding garment. And I believe, as I've said, that the wedding garment is the righteousness of Christ. He had refused to believe and trust in Jesus. You see, so often, especially in the things of the kingdom, we think we can do it ourselves. We think it's what we do. We think it's in our strength. And it's not in our strength. It's in His. And all of us are included and counted in the kingdom if we'll come through Jesus. Jesus Himself said in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so we come through Him. We receive the wedding garment from Him, which is His righteousness. And we're accepted into the feast. Because He's the only way. You can't come in any other way. And yet this man tried to come in without the wedding garment. And so it tells us what happens. It says in verse 13, then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. You see, many are called into the wedding feast. And remember, this is a picture of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. That's verse 2 of chapter 22. It's talking about the kingdom of heaven. It's a picture. Many are called, but few are chosen. And the few who are chosen are the ones who will accept the conditions of the wedding feast. And the conditions are to accept the robes that you're given. The robe of righteousness. Your goodness, your right standing before God has already been done for you. Has already been proved for you. And so those of us who do believe are encouraged by this because we know that we're going to a wedding feast. But those who do not yet believe, hear the message. There's a wedding feast for you. There is an open invitation to come to heaven. And there's nothing you have to do. God will accept you. And even though that you may say, oh, but I'm a really bad person, you don't know what I've done. The passage says here that they brought in the bad and the good. Accept the gift. Take the free gift of righteousness, of the robe of eternal life. Just believe and receive. Believe and receive. God has forgiven you because Jesus died and paid for your sins. When He died on the cross, it was for your sins. All the badness that you think I couldn't consider and He couldn't consider. He's already paid for them. He's already paid for them. That's how much He loves you. But He just wants you to accept His payment. And in accepting His payment, you receive His righteousness, which in this picture is the robe for the wedding feast. And come in. That is good news. It is so simple. There's nothing you have to do other than believe and receive. Believe and receive this free gift that God is giving to you. And come into the wedding feast. And yes, the wedding feast is whenever we die and go be with the Lord. Or if we're raised up with Him whenever He comes back. But it's whenever we get into heaven, there's a feast, a celebration that He has prepared for all who will believe and trust in Him for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.